from your mistakes. Too many people never learn from their mistakes, and you remain in your mistake. You remain in a life just of mistakes, and it becomes a lifestyle. Here, we're picking up in Deuteronomy. 2.53 million people have died that were supposed to make it into the promised land besides Joshua and Caleb. And here, another remnant, another great multitude of Israelites, the descendants of those that had passed away, were now in position on the east side of the Jordan, ready to cross over into the promised land. And here Moses would be looking back into time of what worked and didn't work for the Israelites, the people of God, the chosen. And he would be speaking to the new generation that was about to cross over what to do and what not to do. And I believe a lot of times we live life. We just take day for day and we really don't have a plan. We really don't have a purpose. And I believe here this morning the Lord is speaking to a generation that he wants to cross over to possess the promises of God for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for you to be able to possess the promises of God, so when we evangelize to the lost and the bound, we have something to tell them. We have something to show them. A people that have been obedient, a people that have not given up, a people that have crossed over into the promises of God, into the land flowing with milk and honey, even though there was giants in the land. We came to find out last Sunday's teaching that there was three homes, cities of refuge on the east side and the west side of the Jordan. This morning, I'm going to be preaching about warfare, battles. There will be battles, battles that will always be. The question here this morning, whose side are you on? What master are you serving? Master is not plural because the Bible says you can only serve one master. You can't serve both masters. And think you're going, you can, and think, but you're not going to live a life of joy and peace. And things ain't going to go the way you want to. They'll go for in seasons and little splurts of jumping here and being with the devil in the weekend, coming back on church on Sunday and Wednesday. You see, that's religion, that's tradition. It changes nobody. And here, Moses now in his later years was speaking to a brand new people, a brand new generation. He was able to live and to tell what they did right and what they did wrong. But regardless, millions would die in the wilderness that should have prepared them. They will die in their preparation in entry to the promised land. Too many Christians dying in their preparation within the process of God that must take place within one's life to be strengthened. To become an overcomer, there needs to be something to overcome. To have victory, there must be a battle. So here this morning, I want everybody listening up. I know the Lord's going to speak, but are you going to respond? Are you going to respond to the call of God upon your life? Or will you leave the sanctuary and go back to work Monday as if God didn't speak to your life? And listen to the commands of your boss and wait for the paycheck. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25. I'm excited here this morning. I got this message on the road to go pick up some chihuahuas. I picked up how many? 10. There's 5 left. If you want a chihuahua, you can speak to me after the service. and they're not for free. I'll catch the ones that didn't tithe. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25. This very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you. Speaking about us. How many know that a lot of reports have gone out about us? Amen. Before Christ came in, man, my son, my daughter, a lot of reports. The principal, the teachers, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, the police station, the prison system. Every system has a report on you. It's called your jacket. Tu chaqueta. What's the other word for it? Your rap sheet. We all got a rap sheet of who we used to be. But now it says they will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory, all the honor. Have your way. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. I picked up the offering this Wednesday with this, just at random, and it ministered to me. Matthew 14, 34 to 36 says, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus. Prior to this, he had just done the feeding of the 5,000 in a desolate place where nothing was supposed to happen. But Jesus was there. It might be a little bit desolate in your life right now. Maybe things ain't happening. Maybe things haven't been happening for a long time, at least things that are good. But we need to know here this morning that the presence of the Lord is present here this morning. And anything that is good is possible and happening this day if you open your heart and mind to what Christ has for your life. So here this big miracle had taken place. And now they're him and the disciples are pulling up on the seashore in a boat. And the Bible says in 35, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus. Remember the hearing of reports in Deuteronomy? They will hear reports of you, amen? They were hearing reports of Jesus, amen? And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Jesus here, the report of Jesus was going forth. There's a report right now within your life and my life. If you're growing in the things of the Lord, there's a report. Family members, some people are starting to say, hey, you know, brother such and such, man, he's not really the same no more. Man, sister, you know, yeah, that one. Man, she's not really the same no more, man. Ever since she started going to that church over there on 12, what is the address again? 1204. I went there one time, but man, it's really working for her. She's not really acting the same no more. It's like she walked like a lady now instead of a gangster all posted up. Is she talking like a lady now? She says, sorry when a cuss word slips out. That's not her. What are they giving them over there? They must be getting brainwashed. Pastor must have given them something to run off of. Here, they recognize Jesus. There was a report building of the name of Jesus. That he was able to do miracles never seen before. The miracle that the report they heard of was the feeding out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that he fed over 5,000 people, and there was leftovers. There was leftovers. These people, I don't think, came for healing. The Bible says they came, they didn't come for food, they came for healing. They says, man, if he's able to feed over 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, he's able to heal too. that's what I want to speak about here this morning. That God is able to do anything and everything. They recognized Jesus. They heard the reports of Jesus. I got a little note here. But yet, they didn't say nothing about the 12 disciples that were right there with them. They recognized Jesus, but not the disciples. There was a report of what Jesus was able to do, not so much what the disciples were able to do. Now, there might be a report out here this morning that you can't get very much done. That on your best day, but there's a report in the making right now in your life that's going to start getting out that people are going to be able to say, that brother is no longer that brother that I used to know at one time. Parents are going to start saying, that is not my daughter. That is no longer my son. That can only be Jesus. They would start to recognize Jesus, not for only who Jesus is, but they would start to recognize Jesus in your son's life, in your daughter's life, Jesus in your marriage. I got a question here this morning. Nothing was said about the 12 disciples. They recognize Jesus. How are you currently being recognized right now? What's your rap sheet? If I was to bring you up here one by one and say, this is brother so-and-so, what do you think about him? Some people go, I ain't saying nothing. We're in church right now. And if I was to bring up a sister, what do you think about sister? What's her rap sheet? And we'd turn this into a courthouse. Some people say, man, that sister, man, she's doing good, man. She has changed. How are you currently being recognized this day? King David did great exploits. I mean, he was a warrior. But even to today, many recognize him for his sin with Bathsheba. And they forget about all the good he did, how he was a man after God's own heart. How are you being recognized within the rehab right now? Are you brother, you know who, that's kicking up trouble, always complaining all the time? Are you the brother Felipe can say, man, that brother's catching it, man? What does Patty have to say about the sisters in the home right now? What would be my report for you right now? What's your current, how are you currently being recognized here this morning? And whatever it is, the good news is that Jesus is working right now. He's working right now. I put here, the lost and bound need to recognize the Jesus in our lives, not us. The lost and bound need to recognize Jesus at work in our lives. But too many times when the lost and bound sees us, they want to kick it with us. The lost and bound shouldn't want to kick it with you. They shouldn't be inviting you to their house. The last person, the lost and bound, that used to be your best friend should want was you to go kick it with them doing good in Jesus. Because light and darkness don't mix. Light and darkness don't mix. What we do is drive-bys. We get in and out. We don't hang out. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, 1 through 7. Talking about two battles here that had already taken place. Remember, this is Moses just rehashing, going back in time. Here he would be speaking about victories, that they would have victories. Here's Moses once again talking to the new generation before him. On accounts that had already taken place. Amen? And he goes, next we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan. And Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him. Remember, past accounts. These were victories the Israelites had, even though they all passed away. These are accounts that Moses was speaking to the new generation. So he speaks about there in verse 1, about the king called Og. Verse 2, the Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him. We're going to find out later on in scripture why they were afraid of him. Amen. The Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon. So the Lord our God also gave into our hands Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, leaving no survivors. At that time, we took all his cities. There was not one of the 60 cities that we did not take from them. The whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, with gates and bars. And there were also a great many unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the plunder from their cities we carried off for ourselves. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 31. He did it with Og. It says, the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. The same thing that the victory they had with the king Og now was taking place. We go to another portion of scripture. See, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. Now begin to conquer and possess his land. When Sihon and all his army came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz, the Lord our God delivered him over to us, and we struck him down together with his sons and his whole army. At that time, we took all his towns and completely destroyed them, men, women, and children. We left no survivors, but the livestock and the plunder from the towns we had captured, we carried off for ourselves. The exact same thing took place to the king of Og, to the king of Sihon. Amen? A same slaughter took place. A great victory took place. Here, God, I put here in my note, was instilling faith within his people. Remember, Moses is speaking out to the new generation of the victories, not only the defeats, but the victories that they had had, big battles, where they had destroyed everything. Here, God was instilling faith within his people through the man Moses, that what had already been done to King Sihon, do it to King Og. Let's keep moving. Do it to King Og. Some of you are confused already, but stay with me at the end of the message. I'm coming back to this portion of scripture. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17. A very familiar portion of scripture dealing with little David in the shepherd's field. Dealing with battles here today. Dealing with Goliath here. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. It would come out, and the battle lines on each side would come out, and then Goliath would start doing his thing, right? That happened that day. young David left the shepherd field, and he was being obedient to his dad, Jesse, amen, and he comes up on the scene that he had never been at. He was always just in the shepherd's field taking care of the sheep. But God was doing something. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine, champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Goliath was a big, bad dude. 25, now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." That should get some people excited. Amen. A daughter and taxes taken care of. Verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" Question: "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert?" Don't despise small beginnings. "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Scripture before that said everybody gone running by now. Amen. 29 says, Now what have I done?" Did little David speaking up to his oldest brother, right? Said David, "Can't I even speak?" Verse 30. He then turned away to someone else. He shook the spot from his oldest brother and said, "He called me wicked, conceited." So he shook the spot, moved on a little bit, and went to verse 30. Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. The men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. Saul, the king's shot caller, amen. And Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, this is a little kid, amen. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy." Come on, youth gang. That should stir you up right there. "And he has been fighting man from his youth." But David had a word. He had a word. Amen. With them few sheep, he had a word. It's better to have a few sheep than no sheep and never try at all. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." He's giving his rap sheet, his report of what been going down in the shepherd's field with the few sheep. See, the devil don't need a lot of sheep to come in, amen? He just needs a few sheep. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." He's giving his rap sheet. He's giving his, what do you call it when you go get a job? resume. He's giving him his resume. He says, check this out. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Remember, he says, when he told the king Og, opening scriptures, do the same to him. Amen. 37 says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. Saul like believed him. Go and the Lord be with you. Talking about battles. In verse 20, the Bible says that they will get in their battle positions. Verse 20. I'll go to verse 20. Is it up there? At the real end of verse 20, it says, they reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Verses a little bit after that says that they all took off running. That's the church making a lot of noise, making a lot of claims, a lot of reports, but not being able to back them up. Victory Outreach, we are worldwide international ministry that is able to back up not what we say, but able to back up what the living God says that we are able to do. And the proof and the report has gone out all over the world in over 33 countries that we're about our Father's business. They all got in their battle positions. They were all shouting the war cry. It's like the rehab in the morning. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Whoo! Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. And right after the prayer session, they're complaining, they're lying, they're wanting to sleep, and there ain't alive, alive taking place. It's just a war cry. With no backbone. Not willing to go through the process to back up the war cry of victory. A war cry, when I hear a war cry, it's something that goes forward. It's something that advances. It's something that has an assurance on who God is. Represents a church with no power. Praise and worship and everything, but the power of God is not being demonstrated in the lives of people, not just in the church, but the power of God should be getting demonstrated in your life. There should be a report. The report should be changing within your life of who you used to be and now who you are in Christ Jesus. The report, the rap sheet in your life should not stay the same. I have 14-page rap sheet on me over 14 felonies, and in the last 18 years, I don't even got a misdemeanor. Because my life has been changed by Christ. Talk is cheap. Everybody can have a war cry, but can you back up the war cry? Do you know how to go into battle? Do you know how to fight the good fight, run the good race? And become that great man of God, that great woman of God, that great youth of God. In Spanish, there's a saying, say, el perro que labra no muerde. The dog that bark don't bite. Gotta be careful, that dog kind of just moves his head to the side without barking. Cesar Blanc shows that it's a myth. We look at a dog, and as long as his tail is waggling, it's gonna be a nice dog. He has a clip which shows dog after dog that's wagging his tail and biting into somebody's leg. Don't go by the wagging of the tail. Don't go by how pretty she is. Don't go by how suave, guapo, all that he is. You're gonna get bit. That commercial's now with vampires. I promise I won't bite. Just what the heck is that about? What is it? The guy's leaving her and she's a vampire. I won't bite you no more. And I was like, come on. Verse 28. His older brother says, you should come down only to watch the battle. Verse 33 says, you're only a boy. You're only a boy. What are you able to do with this man, this skilled fighter? You're only a boy. See, the enemy might be a skilled fighter, but he's a defeated fighter. He's a defeated fighter. And too many times we give him too much props, too much glory. Because of the whooping he put on us, BC, before Christ. He's so skilled, he works through lies, he works through deception. And that's why it's so important that we need to know the truth. The truth of what God's word says about your life, about my life, about the church, about the lost and bound, about the Great Commission, about the coming of the Lord, about an eternity, whether it's heaven or hell. The Bible says don't sell the truth. Scripture says don't sell the truth. There's too many Christians selling the truth to get a leg up and something in the world. Too many Christians selling the truth for a cigarette, for a beer, the opposite sex, a drug, a better position at the job place. Verse 36 and 37 says, the Lord who delivered me. I want you to hold them words right there. The Lord who delivered me. At the real bottom of 37. The Lord who delivered me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Here within this story, these are my little notes on the road. I've heard this preaching 1,000 times. I put here, I believe little young Big David was measuring up Goliath from a distance. He was posted up, he had his staff with him, he had a sling on his side. And I believe at a distance, little David was posting up and what he was looking at, he says, I want to see how big the hands of that giant is. I think he was trying to get close enough and he finally got the angle when that giant was, defying Israel, right? Just, and he finally saw the hand and said, I can take him. I can take him. The Bible reads there that the Lord delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And I believe little David says, I just need to see how big his hands are. And I believe David got in there close enough to see how big the giant's hand was. And I believe little young David said to himself, the paw of the lion was bigger than that. It had big old claws on it. The paw of that bear, a bear just with a swoop can take your head off. He goes, the paw of that bear I took out, it was bigger than that hand of Goliath. It had claws on it. The paw of the bear and the lion, I see little young David thinking, saying was not only bigger, but it was stronger than that giant's hand. Not only stronger, it was faster than that giant's hand. Giant. Little David says, I can take him. he had a report in the shepherd's field. He had something to stand on of what God had already done. He had delivered over, and he makes it real clear that God delivered the bear and the lion for him. I believe as he checked out the size of the hand of the giant, he said, I can take him. Then I believe after that, little David said to himself, I wonder, would this giant fight the bear I fought? Would this giant fight the lion I fought with simply a staff and a sling? Would even this giant called Goliath try to fight the bear I killed and the lion I killed? I wonder if he would. Would he post up the way he's posting up right now with that bear and that lion? I did. And when that Bible says when the bear and the lion looked back to try to see, he said he got them by the hair and took them out. He was in close distance. What was trying to take the sheep. I also believe at that point David had sized them up, measured him up, and at that point, remember, little young David would then look at his hands. And his hands were very little hands compared to the bear, the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion and the palm of that hand of Goliath. Little young David's hands were really, really, really small. I believe he looked at his hands. He did all the calculations. He said, I can take them. What was it in his little hands that said, I can take them? It was not only that he took the bear out and took the lion out, but I put in my little notes while we were driving in the car that David knew, little young David knew, what really counted was not the size of the paw of the bear, the size of the paw of the lion, or the palm of that giant before him, Goliath. But what really counted was the size of the hands of the Lord that would deliver, as he did the bear and the lion, he would also deliver Goliath to him. It was the size of the hands of the Lord that David was well aware of. How big is Jesus in your life? I ask that you ask yourself this day, how big is Jesus within your life this day? Is he big enough to take care of that marriage that's all messed up? Is he big enough to take care of those children that are going the wrong way? How big is Jesus in your life? Or every time something goes wrong, you depend on the size of your hand instead of the hand of the Lord that is able to deliver. There's a song, an old song that goes, if you've been saved by the hand of the Lord, let me hear you say, I'm set free. If you've been redeemed by the hand of the Lord, let you say, hey, I'm free. I'm free, yeah, in the name of the Lord. Those are the songs I got saved under, that we would sing like the Bad News Bear. If you've been delivered by the hands of the Lord. The hands of my parents couldn't deliver me, though they had finances and wisdom and bachelor's degrees. The hands of the parole officer couldn't deliver me. The prison system couldn't deliver me by trying and teaching me a lesson behind bars. I came out and did it all over again, had to go back in a second time. The hands of beautiful women could not deliver me. The hands of prostitutes could not deliver me. The hands of the best drugs could not deliver me. But the hands of the Lord, they delivered me. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Young David knew it wasn't about that giant. And too many times we get caught up within the size of the giant that we're up against, instead of knowing the size of the God that is on our side. Instead of knowing truly through a relationship who our Father is. It's so ironic when everything's going good that God is worship and praise. He's so good. He's so big. But when everything is going wrong, he becomes so small. Because we start to try to work it out by power and might. Isn't that funny how that works out? If anything, it should be the other way around. When things are not going right in everything, we should run to the battle line. We should run knowing that God is with us and that God would want to advance us. Not to allow us to run from the enemy, to run from our calling, to run from our positioning. I've come to a place in my life, I really don't care what goes down because my God is bigger. My God is bigger. How have I come to that realization? A lot of years of trial and error, a lot of years of a lot of bears and lion killings, a lot of victories, a lot of victories. But victory can only come through a battle. You want victory in your life? The Lord's going to send you through the process. He's going to take you to the battle line. The Bible says that David ran to the battle line. We're in Victory Outreach. We're a frontline ministry. We run to the battle line. We run to the north side on 26 in Burleigh. When people are running from there, we're running to there. Because we know the size of our God and what he did in our life. We got a report of what Jesus is able to do in a man's life, in a woman's life, in a youth's life, when we surrender it over to the Lord. We know what the Lord is capable of doing in a surrendered life that is not trying to do it their way. I know what the Lord is able to do on my worst day. And I may not like the process. I may not like the way it's going on and going down. But I know my God will see me through. I know it. I know it. I know it. He ain't going to leave me out in the alley somewhere, you know, all messed up. And he's going to use that battle that seems unfair to strengthen me, to give me more wisdom, to give me more knowledge, more bears, more lions that have been slain, not by the sling, but by the hand of the Lord. Too many times we want to give ourselves the credit when it is the Lord that delivers. And the reason at times we want to give ourselves too much credit is because we don't have a relationship with the Lord. It's hard to give someone else credit when you don't have a relationship with that person. And it's real easy to give credit to self because that's called pride, my friend. Little David looked at his little hands and says, hey, it was God. It was God. It was God. And that's why verse 46 says. And that's why verse 46 says. 1 Samuel 17. You ain't got it, Chris? Praise the Lord. Verse 46, homie. Come on, man. We're in the roll up here. I was just about to speak that he can't go to sleep back there no more. And he got him slipping. David knew the size of not his hands, but the hands of the Lord. And that's why 46 says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. hand you over to me. And I will strike you down and cut off your head. This is little David talking smack to the big Goliath. He says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. He didn't say, this day I'm going to go chop off your head, Goliath. No, he said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Not a little David, but a God in Israel. The report will go out. People will start to recognize, as they recognize Jesus, they will start, a report will start to go forth about your life, a praise report, a godly testimony, not only a worldly testimony, but a godly testimony. Well, I used to have my trunk full of dope, 20 prostitutes working for me at each corner on the north side. I had it all sewed up, but you ain't got no testimony in Jesus. The power comes in the testimony of Jesus, not in your past testimony. That's when you were defeated. But it's easy to add on and exaggerate who you were before Christ. Amen? I know I've done it before. I would say it was tons and it was kilos, or an ounce and it was really a dime bag. There's a report taking place in the church right now. 1 Samuel 17:55. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, "Hey, commander of the army, whose son is this young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I don't know." Top guys didn't know what was going on in the life of little young David, but God did, and little young David did. The leading commanders there, Abner, he says, "Man, I really don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. From being unknown in the backside of the shepherd field, just having a few little sheep of his own that he protected with his life from the bear and the lion, even though it was a few sheep. Some of you got a few sheep, said, what the heck? If I lose them, I lose them. There's just a few. The pastor won't know. I'll just tell him they backslid. From being young and unknown to being known as a giant killer. To being known as a giant killer. That all the army of Israel would run from this man. David, little David says, "No, man. I saw the size of his hands, man. I can take him. I can take him. I can do it." We need to see the size of the Lord. We need to have a relationship with the Lord. If you're going to truly know how he is able to deliver, not only within your life, but in the life of the lost and the bound. We need to have a relationship with the Lord to know truly how faithful he is. But too many of you all still have a relationship with the world. The world is your source. The world is your provider. The world is your protector. The world is your guide. And it will lead you to hell, even though you're going to church at 1204 South 61st Street. Come on, Pastor, you were doing good. Why did you have to go there? Because it's the truth. It's the truth. Too many of y'all hearing the message right now, and you still ain't praying, and you still ain't getting into God's word. You don't have faith because you ain't got no victories to stand on. Oh, the church is all messed up. They're always talking about the people. The pastor's all messed up. He don't know what he's doing. Yeah, I've just been lucky, real lucky for 18 years all of a sudden. From a prison cell, just lucky. Just lucky. I'm just lucky. Just call me lucky. Tell the city we got a lucky pastor. He's been saved for 18 years. He's so lucky. Verse 51, Chris. The Bible says David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard, close enough. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero, see, at this point, they were posted up. Yeah, what you want? They were all lined up, and Goliath was, I believe, posted up in the front. They were doing all the gang signs and all that stuff. Colored hanky. And little David came up there and grabbed that dude's head and chopped his head off, and they said, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Remember, opening scripture says that there would be in fear in Deuteronomy? Uh-oh. The table had turned through a young little boy's life that knew how to get with Jesus, that knew how to worship, that knew how to protect the sheep. The table has turned now. David ran, stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from his scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and... Oh, my God, here they come. Who is that little kid? He must be a witch. He must be a sorcerer. Did you see that? Yeah, I saw that. Let's go. The tears had turned the table. The tide had turned. But back in verse 24, the Bible says when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. A lot of running taking place. I'm done running. I post up like a true gangster for Jesus. I post up. I ain't running. Don't run from nothing. You want to bring trouble, bring it on. You're just going to make me stronger. It's going to backfire on you. All of Israel ran, verse 24 says, but on 51 says, everyone else ran. The army of the enemy of Goliath, I put here, their army really represented only one man. One man. That was taken out from one young little boy. Too many times we look at the giant, the enemy that we're facing, as if we are never going to get past that giant. Too many times we look at the odds, and the odds will always be against us. Simply because we're Christians, the odds will always be against us crossing over the Jordan into the promises of God. The odds will always be against us, the natural odds, but spiritual odds. The Bible tells us that there's more of us than there is of them. That's why we need to get in the spiritual. If you stay in the natural out of prayer and word, you will always say, this ain't worth it, man. I'm out of here. This ain't worth it. I ain't doing all this. Skip that. I am out of here. See ya. Act like a banana and split. Skip this. There's no spirituality. Oh, Goliath and his army looked like they were really powerful and spiritual, but after their hero was gone, they all hightailed it and ran. Back to opening scripture and getting ready to close. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25. I want you to catch what I opened up with. Stop looking at how big your obstacles are. This very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 2. David was so faithful to say that it was the Lord that handed over the bear and the lion, and he would also hand over Goliath. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 2 reads, the Lord said to me, do not be afraid. That means fear is a true obstacle. Fear is a true obstacle in the lives of many Christians. You may say, I'm not afraid. You know, I just don't want to do it, man. You know, I'm not afraid. It's fear. When there's fears, there's more in our lives that need to be able to trust in the Lord. That He has given us the land. 3:2 says, the Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him. There's that line again that David used, amen, in 1 Samuel. Do not be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you. With his whole army and his land. I like this part. I underlined it and I put a star. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 8. We're going into the New Living Translation. It says, we now possessed all the land. In the NIV, what we've been reading out of, in 3:8, the Bible simply reads, so at that time we took from these two kings of the Amorites. We took. But I like the New Living Translation that says, we now possessed all the land of the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon. We now possessed. And that's what we're doing right now. We're possessing the land of Milwaukee. I like this translation. We now possessed. I put here, we now possess. No longer being possessed by the land, but now possessing the land. We've been set free from the Lord to possess the land, to enter the promised land, and to do what we've been called to do, to possess the land and not be possessed by the land. Does Milwaukee currently have you possessed? I know it's got the inner city possessed right now of its possessions and a possession of evil spirits. Like taking possession, no longer being possessed, but possessing. In Deuteronomy, New Living Translation, Deuteronomy 3:11. I like what this translation says. Remember that King Og? I believe this is the King Og one. Yep. This is not just, he was not just any king that was taken out, but the last of the giant Rephaites. He was a giant. Yeah, he was a giant. New Living Translation reads, King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the, this is Moses telling the victories that they had, amen, to the new generation. It says, King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Rephaites. Check out his bed. Wasn't king size, wasn't a water bed. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long. Come on, somebody. And 6 feet wide. It can still be seen in Ammonite's city of Rabbah. This was a big dude. Even though they had victory and he was one of the last surviving their giants of the land, they were still defeated. They were still defeated and would not enter the promised land. That tells me that we need to remain consistent. We just can't do good for splurts and seasons. We need to remain on the battlefield. We need to continue to do good year after year after year, whether it's good or bad. We need to remain in the power and the hand of the Lord. I want to let you know this morning that we serve the same Lord. Back to Deuteronomy 3:2. I like what it says at the end. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Do to him. Here, God, through Moses, was saying, what you did to Sihon, what you did to, do it to him. Go slaughter everybody. Take no prisoners. Take all the loot. Take all their possessions. Take their land. Take their animals. Take everything. Just like you did to that last king you had victory over, do the same thing to him. Do it again. I want to let you know here this morning that we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. I want to let you know here this morning, if you quit smoking, it wasn't you. It was the hand of the Lord that delivered you from smoking. I want to let you know, if the hand of the Lord can deliver you from smoking, it can deliver you from alcohol. Do what you did to the cigarette smoking, to the alcohol. I want to let you know, if you're still chasing women, if you're still chasing men around, I want to let you know that the same God that delivered you from smoking, from drinking, can deliver you from the opposite sex. I want to let you know if that same God was able to deliver you from smoking and drinking, prostitution, alcohol, and all these things. It's that same God is able to deliver you from cussing. Too many cussing Christians. Some of you have gotten to a place in your walk with the Lord, in the journey that you ran, and there's a giant before you. I want to let you know that the delivering hand that took you out of addiction, that pulled you out of the wall, can deliver that giant to you. But you're going to have to advance. You're going to have to run up to the front line. I'm going to come from up here. Ha, ha, ha. My shoulders, my knees, my feet, everything was hurting this morning. From the line, run. Post up. I'm in position. I got the war cry, and I'm going to back it up. Some of you, God has done so much for you, but there's a giant before you that's got a big old 13-foot long iron bed that is 6 feet wide, amen, and is calling out your name on a daily basis, calling you out. Yeah, you ain't gonna do it. Yeah, you ain't gonna do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Oh, my friend, my friend. There's battles before the Jordan. There's battles in the promised land. Man, that ministered to me so much. I preached for an hour and 20 minutes just to say that line right there. do to him what you did to Sihon king. And if you read the account, he slaughtered everybody, took all the animals, did everything identical. Why? It was the hand of the Lord. Some of you feel that the spirit of cigarettes is one weaker than the spirit of the opposite sex. And to us it might be, but to the eyes of the Lord and the hand of the Lord, same deal. Same thing. There's no difference to the hand of the Lord. Our hand, the opposite sex, is stronger than a smoking habit. There's some smokers in the house saying, no, my friend, smoking habit is bigger than... We're all in these places. What may seem small to you is a giant to somebody else. But I want to let you know here this morning that the hand of the Lord is here, that was there for young David in the shepherd's field with the lion and the bear, that was there at the battle line dealing with Goliath. The hand of the Lord was there, and young David was able to know it was the hand of the Lord, not his hand. It was the hand of the Lord that delivered him over to him. He knew that because he had a relationship with him in that shepherd's field. I'm going to get the worship team. The worship team could kindly please come forward. Are you running to the battle or running from the battle? In verse 24, in the beginning, they were running away from the battle. Verse 51, all of a sudden, the enemy was running from the battle. Too many track star Christians. The full armor of God is not meant to run in. It's meant to stand and stand some more. As we stand this beautiful day.